everyone, welcome to the Bundesliga Diaries. No Bundesliga this week, of course, as we are in the middle of the winter break, but we couldn't let you down over the Christmas period. We do have a show out for you. Mirko, Richard and Jorge, how was Christmas? Did we enjoy it? How was it? Was it heavy or?
Yeah, it was great. Always eating. Well, I'm not the biggest fan of Christmas, so I'd rather go away and watch some football at Boxing Day. Couldn't do that this year because Frankfurt's playing international. Have to save up all my time.
But you did last year, right?
Fair enough.
I did do it last year.
Yeah, of course, you're Mr. Scrooge over there in the corner.
I love Christmas. I have to say, as you say, it's eating, it's drinking, it's seeing family and friends. Just no football, but at least there's the Premier League, so not everything is lost.
And as, of course, the winter break is going on at the moment, we thought it would be the perfect opportunity to delve into the subject a little bit more. It's certainly a topic and a subject that creates a lot of debate, depending on the country that you're from, the values of it and the reasons why, whether it's good or not. And we're going to try and cover as much of that as possible for you today. The winter break this year in the Bundesliga is from the 23rd. To the 18th of January, which is a rather short one this year compared to recent years. It's kind of a time for clubs, players and fans as well, also to take a break, you know, stay away from the football a little bit, to rejuvenate and get ready for that second part of the season, which is called the Rückrunde here in Germany. There's also only 18 teams in the Bundesliga, which means 34 games for each team. So, you know, there's a little bit more scope to allow everybody to take that break.
And also, we don't have 12 million cup competitions on the side.
Yeah, that as well. And yeah, I mean, so it is that kind of time to rejuvenate and get ready for what's to come. And certainly to get away from the winter weather, which is what, just about the majority of teams do. Bayern kind of have a deal where they go to Qatar every year. I am sure for commercial interests, not to be cynical. I'm sure they're not going to all the huge amounts of Qatari fans that are out there in Doha, where they tend to go. And then a lot of teams go to Spain. 9 teams go to Spain, which certainly for the warm weather is the perfect place to go in Europe in that time of year.
A lot go normally to high-performance sports centres because some cities, for example, like Murcia or like Alicante, they're not known for having, even though they have historical teams, they're not known for having teams now in professional football, but they have all these centres and all these facilities. And I think it's also things that fans follow them, because I remember a couple of years ago, Hertha Berlin actually went to Mallorca and they played a friendly against my team. And it was broadcasted in Germany, which was awesome to see my team in Sport 1, I think it was. And you could see many Hertha fans. I don't know if they were people from Germany that live in the island or they were actually travelled with the team, but from some documentaries I've seen from this high performance center in Murcia, actually, Pignatar Arena, there was a interesting documentary about it, and Dortmund go there often, and apparently a lot of fans went there a few days to see the team train. So I assume also it's good for the fans to be a few days in a warmer area, see your football team train, maybe get some contact with the players, because in Germany the players are closer to the fans than in other leagues.
In a relaxed atmosphere as well.
Yeah, exactly. Not that competitive, not that many media, even though, of course, media still, I assume, get accredited for those events. And I found interesting, looking through the research, that quite a few teams stay in Germany.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly last year, 8 sides stayed in Germany, and it included some big teams as well. Hoffenheim, Leverkusen, Borussia Mönchengladbach, Leipzig were amongst those who stayed in Germany. Ralf Hasenhüttl, who just gone to Southampton, was quoted as saying, I mean, you know, I've got everything I need here in Leipzig. What's the point in going abroad? Make the most of the time to get used to your surroundings a little bit more, I guess, about all the media exposure that there is around it.
And I can understand it to a sense, to a point, because, for example, this is like in summer where big teams go kilometres and kilometres to Asia, to America, only for marketing purposes. Here we see it with Qatar for Bayern. Others, it's not that much marketing. It's more like just to like train. But at the end of the day, it's so short amount of time that you might as well just stay back home. Although I assume the whole point of this break is to go away from the cold.
Team bonding as well, maybe another reason behind it, I would think.
Yeah, there is a reason we have the winter break. That is the weather in Germany. And that's why I understand going away to a country where the conditions are just better. I mean, you don't have to go to Qatar, but there are other options. You mentioned the Spain one.
Like I remember last year, I think it was, some games during winter are impossible to play. I remember it was Cologne against Freiburg, actually amazing game, 4-3 for Freiburg. And the game had to be stopped at the beginning because of the snow. There was so much snow, and actually, during the game, it was difficult to follow the game because it was so snowed that you didn't know if it was a throw-in, if it was a corner or not.
Yeah, I think that's a good point worth making, is that perhaps maybe a lot of people, you know, who obviously don't live in Germany might not understand or think that the weather actually is that really bad. But certainly the more south you get, southwest, you know, you've got temperatures that go down to minus 15, minus 20. And it's not right to play football. It doesn't make any sense. And especially, you know, the winter break is not just for the Bundesliga. It goes for the Zweite Bundesliga, Dritte Bundesliga, the Regionale Liga, you know, where they are definite stadiums that, you know, might not have the resources to either have undersoil heating or to be able to clear the pitch. They don't probably have the ability to put a game on. And so certainly those 6 weeks, they make a big difference to be able to give everyone a little bit of a break from the weather.
Yeah, and some of those leagues, because the other day I was actually, because now, you know, I have my calendar for 2019. So I was checking my football calendar, checking which games can I go to. And I was checking for fourth and fifth division games around this area. And the league stops until the last week of February, which is going back to your point, because they don't have the facilities, and going to the stadiums, it just actually might freeze that the league stops for 2 months, which is something even closer to what they do in Russia, that the first division in Russia stops for 3 months until March. Also, that's another talking point I want to make. You go now 3 weeks to a warmer climate, or 2 weeks, or give or take. Is that good or bad? Because you're training in a climate you're not going to be playing at when you come back. Therefore, teams that stay in Germany, even though it's going to be freezing, those players surely will be adapted to the climate they're going to be playing with week in, week out.
Yeah, well, the point is they're not going away and then arriving 2 hours before the match day 18 and then directly have the game. Usually they're having like the first week away or 10 days away where they have good conditions, and then they will be back in Germany at least for a week before the first match. So there's enough time to get used to it. And I think that's not an excuse if you're professional football players. And I think it's rather good to go away and have those 10 days to train under perfect conditions, to train something new. And then you have enough time to get used to it anyway.
And it's not just a physical thing as well. It's a mental thing. The going away to sunny climates. I remember, back in early 2000s, Man United had to go and play at the Club World Championship in Rio. And so they were away for, I think it's 2 weeks or something like that. I mean, the games were, I mean, they didn't play very well, but Roy Keane said in his autobiography, he said, yeah, it was great because we were just on the beach for 2 weeks and we came back just completely refreshed mentally. We just walked the title for the following 3 or 4 months. And so I think it's also a good opportunity, not just physically, but for players to actually just recuperate, because it's, you know, it's quite an intensive thing to play in the Bundesliga every week. It's quite a physical league, which obviously that will have an influence on your mental condition. And so I think it's a good bonus for them.
I agree. Was trying just to play the devil's advocate there. But going back to I think it especially is good mentally and physically when you go in like there to recuperate physically, like for the rest of the season. Actually, that's a talking point that apparently next season in the Premier League, because of this physical recuperation we're talking about, they're going to give 2 weeks break in winter, which is, I think it's the only league that didn't stop, now will stop. And I actually like this winter pause in Germany because of the temperature we're saying. I think it makes more sense than, for example, in other leagues, like in Spain doesn't stop. They only stops 2 weeks for Christmas, but that's more vacation rather than preparing physically. Or like France, apparently there's Les Trousses, I don't know if it's said it properly. But they stop for longer than in other leagues, although shorter than in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, certainly on the continent, it's a common thing to stop and have that winter break. You mentioned the Premier League, and I think that's the main comparison to make, isn't it, with the winter break and no winter break. As you said, it's the only one that doesn't have it for now. And the question is, what do we prefer? And now, Mirko, you've been a couple of times, haven't you, to go and take in those festivities, those Christmas football festivities that happen, you know, on Boxing Day and then after, you know, up until the new year. And then you have the opposite of no football at all in the Bundesliga, as has been the case, well, throughout your life here. So what is it that you personally prefer? Would you like to leave it as it is, or would you enjoy to have that football over the Christmas period? Do you think it'd be worthwhile?
I wouldn't mind having football in Germany. I think it will never happen because we're too conservative, and then church would come and be like, you can't play football on Christmas. And so, I mean, we might end up having a shorter break and starting early in January, but over Christmas and over New Year's Eve, there will definitely never, ever be football in Germany. I do like that because then I can go to the UK and watch UK football for 1 or 2 weeks. That's a nice thing to also see some new stadiums. And that's what a lot of like German groundhoppers are doing. They're using that time off to go to the UK, watch some football there. And yeah, that's why I think the winter pause is great to watch some other football.
What games did you go to when you went back?
I mean, when you're there, you want to get the maximum out of it. So I was there twice and watched some games from the Premier League to, I think it was sixth tier something, which was Metropolitan Police FC, a club outside of London. Don't know which team they played against. I think there was a sixth tier game. Yeah, and apart from that, I've seen West Ham play at home. I've seen Crystal Palace play at home. And some lower leagues, Millwall, Brentford, and also Leighton Orient.
It has only
been London. Next year, you have the break, I heard. But in a couple of years, I definitely want to target the Manchester area.
Mm, certainly, yeah, a lot of clubs for you to go around there as well, yeah.
Wait, so it's Boxing Day and New Year's Eve games stopped now? Or how is it going to be?
I mean, to be honest, I don't exactly know what the plan is.
As far as I'm aware, they will still have Boxing Day and the New Year games, and then they will have a short break.
Oh, okay, that's all right. Good.
Yeah, because those traditions are awesome.
I might be horribly wrong on that. Please don't insult me on Twitter. But as far as I'm aware, they're still intending to have the games on the traditional days, as it were. But they're going to have it a bit like Serie A does. They have their break now a little bit later in January. And I think the Premier League is planning to copy that to a certain extent.
I mean, from my personal perspective, it's a hard one because, I mean, I certainly understand why there's a break. And when you look at it, it does make sense, you know. But I love it. Coming, you know, from back home, I love the Christmas period and the Christmas fixtures. It's great, you know. Certainly Boxing Day, and it's nice as well. You've got 28, 29, there's always games, football on. I really enjoy it. I guess that's just having grown up with it, though, you know?
Exactly. I love it too, because at Christmas, you're with your family for at least 1 or 2 days, and it's so boring. There's nothing to do. I mean, you're usually eating. That's decent. But still, like, after a couple of days, it gets so boring. There's nothing to do. I mean, nothing's going on. And that's why it's so perfect that you have games running throughout the whole days. And it's not only Christmas. It's also between the years. And that time, it's usually you're just hanging around. And it's perfect if you have football to go to.
The one thing I will say is that I think they are getting slightly, in England, I know this is trying to talk about the Bundesliga, but in England, they're starting to get a little bit close to taking the piss now. Last year, I think it eventually got pulled, but they wanted to put, was it Liverpool, Arsenal?
Yeah.
They wanted to put on Christmas Eve, they wanted to have it. If you're a fan, I mean, transport in England around Christmas time grinds to a halt because, I mean, it's cold, so nothing works. But also, that's when a lot of the maintenance and engineering works will be done. And so... If you're at home, it's great because you've got all these games to watch on TV. But if you're a fan and you want to be going to these games, it's not always probably the nicest thing to be able to get to and to be able to follow your team. So whilst I do love it because it's great to watch football, especially on Boxing Day and around that time, because as you say, there's nothing else to do. I can also see why, certainly maybe in this country as well, that's another reason why it might not catch on, because of the fact that the way fans are quite intent on protecting kickoff times, that it might not function here very well.
I do agree with the fact that it may have gone slightly too far now. I think this year is a little bit better, actually. I think they've got less games this year.
Yeah.
They've kind of packed it a little bit together. There is another point, of course, does come up a lot in this winter break debate, certainly back home as well, and that is on the international stage, the influence that it has. Part of the reason that the Premier League is looking to bring in this winter pause is because of this great debate as to whether it really does influence the national team performance. The argument is that with this winter break, certainly when it comes to those years where there's an international tournament, whether the Euros or the World Cup, is that it gives players an extra jump, an extra bite, a bit more fresher when it comes to it. What do we think about that? I mean, it causes quite a lot of debate, that whether that really is an issue.
I mean, Richard just mentioned the example of Manchester United, that they really had a nice season after their time in Rio for the international World Cup. But that was from a not from a physical perspective, but rather from a mental perspective. Yeah. And I can rather understand that. But the physical perspective, to me, it makes no sense. If a player in June or July is playing at the World Cup, there's no reason he's feeling better because he had a break in January 6 months ago.
But then mentally, is it not the same, though? Is it not the same thing mentally because they're playing the rest of the Bundesliga
season? No, you were also mentioning that, like, they're fresher. I mean, yeah, that's the goal of the coach, to have the right amount of training and to have the players fit for every game. I mean, that's a way of training. And I can't see a player not being fit in July because he didn't have a break in January. I think that makes no reason.
I don't think it's about, for me, I do think it makes a difference. I don't think it's necessarily fitness, because these players are still fit. You know, when it comes to June, July, playing in a World Cup or the Euros, they are still fit, but I don't think that they are anywhere near the peak of their physical condition, because they have been playing football since, well, I mean, pre-season will have started, what, in middle of July? So they will have been basically playing football, well, if there was no winter break, they will have been essentially playing football non-stop for 9-10 months. And I think when you've done that, it gets to a point where you don't have, I think you're so physically tired that you're not able to play to the full extent. And I think if you look, I'm quite interested to see what the World Cup is going to be like when we've got the Winter World Cup, to see what the quality of football is like. Because I think if you watch national competitions now, you watch the World Cup, you watch the Euros, I mean, look at France. They won the World Cup. You would probably say that they were the best team overall, but I don't think they played particularly attacking, great, expansive, fast, quick football. And I don't think there's been many teams that you've seen win the Euros or the World Cup over the past 20 years or so, as more and more games start happening. And I'd be really interested to see what the standard of football is like from the national teams in December, when they've only had 4 months of playing football and not 9.
Yeah, but for me then, it's the same point of then the training isn't correct. I mean, when you're working as a fitness coach, you're doing that the whole year too. And you can't say, oh, now I've been working for 9 months and I'm not fit.
Yeah, but your fatigue is going to build.
You're doing
build
that
up
for 30 years.
Yeah, but fatigue will build.
Yeah, and
up.
You're thinking they're the players renting out a yacht, driving that around the sea for 2 weeks, not doing anything, getting wasted. You think they're more fit after the summer break than after a season?
Well, I mean, if you're talking
mentally
about Germany, you've got more than 2 weeks that they're not playing a full intensive game. I mean, how 6 weeks or so that they won't play football to a proper, like, intensive level, you know, friendlies or whatever, training. I mean, that's nothing in terms of what they put their bodies through, you know. So to have that small, even if it's just 5-6 weeks, to have that break, I do think that they're more likely to be able to sustain the kind of levels of performance later on in the season than if they have to play completely through.
Yeah, but I mean, we've had similar debates about having too many games throughout the season,
yeah,
especially when there are friendlies for the national team. There have been complaints all the years before, and managers were saying, our players are playing too much. But then you compare, for example, with basketball, where they're playing like 88 games in the regular season and they're having playoffs. And they're also flying 4,000 kilometers for some games because the US is obviously bigger. Mm. It's just just a way of training. But if you control the training better, then I don't see a problem. You can have, I mean, in international weeks when Frankfurt plays international, we have three games. I do also see some players that are tired, that they look tired, but still it's possible to pull off, and it's really important to have the right managers, the right coaches, and the right fitness coaches to have the right amount of training.
But a lot of the consensus now is that players need at least 3 days between games. And when it gets to the World Cup and the European Cup or the European Championships, these are players that have been doing like playing three games a week for many, many months. There's only so much preparation you can do before, or so much training that you can do before. It's going to have an effect on the ability of players to play at such a level. You know, they're running further than what they've ever done before. You know, they've games being played at a faster pace than it's ever been played before. After 9-10 months of that, it's going to have an effect if you haven't had a break. I can't see any other way that it won't have done, regardless of how well prepared you are with, you know, nutrition and, you know, whatever other dodgy stuff that teams might do.
Yeah, I do see the point, especially at the World Cup, where you have so many games you will have 7 games in 1 month.
Yeah.
And I do see the point that maybe especially at the semis or the quarterfinals, they're not on peak on their fitness level. But I don't see a week in January affect that positively. Okay. Then rather have 2 weeks off before the World Cup.
Exactly.
Then have 2 or 3 weeks of training and then start the World Cup. But I don't really see the point in having to have 2 weeks off in January. I mean, yeah, players can be tired, but then rather have a break right before the World Cup.
I have to agree with with Mirko. And I think this is more used as an excuse in England to like maybe...
results of England.
It definitely is, though.
For example, a lot of players that maybe don't have that break in winter, but definitely play season in, season out until the late stages of European competitions, and then also do well in the national team. And I think what Richard was saying before of national teams not playing to the standards of other teams has not that much to do with physicality, but more with chemistry. And it's just like obvious. One, when you're playing a team like whichever club team, you train together for months, 6 months together, 10 months. And when you go for the national team, you play together maybe 4 weekends during the whole year, and then 2 weeks training before a tournament. So that's not enough time for all those players to bond and to have that chemistry playing, I think. So I think it has more to do with that than with the physical aspect.
I mean, and also, at least from a Premier League or England point of view as well, is it's not just that there's no winter break, but, you know, compared to Germany, certainly you've got 34 league games, and then you've got, how many games you play in the cup if you get to the final?
If you
win
it, I think it's 7.
So seven if you get to the final. You've got one cup competition and 34 league games. And then if you're buying, you might get far in the Champions League as well. Back in England, you've got your 38 Premier League games, or at least 38 Premier League games. And then if it's a championship, you've got 46 games. And then you've got the FA Cup, then you've got the League Cup, and then you've got the European competitions as well. So it's not necessarily just that there's no winter break, but it's, you know, the amount of games. Maybe if there was one less cup competition, they spaced it out every week a game. Maybe that, you know, resolves the problem in a different way. For me, I would agree with you as well. I think if it was 2 or 3 weeks before the World Cup and there's that break then that would make sense, and that does freshen up a little bit. But in January, I mean, because effectively what it could be is, do we say that players who've had a bit of a knock and missed 2 or 3 weeks out of injury, are they fresher? Do we look at it the same way, that they're fresher when it comes to the World Cup or the Euros? Because I don't think we do look at it that way. I don't think we would say that they're off. You know, he'll have a great tournament because he's fresher because he had that bit of a niggle back in whenever it was. You know, so I don't see the.
I think that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a difference between not playing when you're fit and not playing when you're injured. You know, when you're injured. Well, first of all, you haven't been training, so you can't just keep that general basic fitness up. You know, you're more likely to get other injuries once you come back because you haven't been able to keep that fitness up. And yeah, I don't see it as quite the same thing. No.
But wouldn't that be like the same during a break where they have the break off? I mean, they wouldn't be training at the same intensity either. They'd have a break, no, or they'd be out still, on still doing
be
tra- whatever.
They'd still be training though. Their body would be in better condition than what it would be if they were injured.
It's ironic, the one year that England do well at a tournament, the next year they actually do implement the winter break. Funny how it happens that. A last point before we do close the show. I was just thinking whether the winter break has an impact on team performances. A lot of things in football can, you know, the word momentum is used quite a lot. And, you know, people say, I mean, I was just wondering whether it does have an impact on how a team does. Let's say they have a fantastic start of the season. They have that break, the 3 week comes, everyone goes off, does their own thing, or they have like 1 week and then they kind of have a break. And then they come back and it's not quite the same, which is kind of what happened to Leipzig. In 2016-17 when they were flying high and kind of dropped away, or does it work the other way?
Hoffenheim as well, weren't they? Didn't they?
Frankfurt the last 2 years again. Yeah. I mean, there are some teams that tend to have a good first half of the season and then a worse second half, or the other way around. I mean, Stuttgart, when they won the title, or last season, they really had a good second half of the season. Mm. But I think it's not about the team being especially good or bad. I think it's rather harder to have a good second part of the season, because that's the really important. That's where pressure is already up. I mean, in the first half, if you start like Schalke, they started horrible. If you start the second part of the season like that, lose 3, 4, 5 games, then you are in real big trouble. And if it happens in the first part of the season, you can still turn it around. You have more time to turn it around. And the pressure just gets higher with every game that is played.
What Richard was saying, Hoffenheim last year, first
no,
round.
No, it wasn't. I mean, when was it? 3, 4, 5 seasons
no,
ago?
No, last season. Hoffenheim were out of Europe in the first half of the season.
I was talking about something else. But
okay, then we got a good connection there. They were out of Europe the first part of the season. They end up third. But I don't think it has much to do with the winter pause or not, because we see that in all the leagues. I've seen that with my team back in Spain. Started really bad the first half, and then there's a really good second half of the season that has more to do with maybe the way the team is prepared mentally and physically, which the winter pause can have an effect on that, but I can't see being it that important, that break, precisely.
I feel like mentally it certainly could have. I feel like mentally it certainly could have an impact. Again, fitness is, you know, it's up to, I think everybody's fitness remote levels, you know, will remain the same anyway. So, I mean, that's irrelevant in terms of the Bundesliga itself, because everyone's on the same level. But mentally it can change because everyone's at different times. And if you are doing so well and then you can't play for a month, it can kind of just, you can lose that grasp. And if you're not doing well, you're probably almost begging for it to come as soon as possible.
You know what we should do? Some one of us should become a professional football player and try it out.
Oh, wow.
Shotgun.
Unfortunately, I think the time might have passed me by on that one.
Yeah, it's never too late, you know. Jamie Vardy, 24, still playing non-league
football. All right,
I'm
having a party.
I will start smoking menthol cigarettes and drink Red Bull. Maybe I still have a chance.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit older than 24, so.
And so that brings an end to the first Bundesliga Diaries episode of 2019. We hope that you enjoy it, and we hope that you found it a good way to start the new year. Mirko, Richard, Jorge, as ever.
Cheers.
Thank you, John.
Next week, of course, we do have another show. We'll be doing a roundup of the first half of the season, see where all the teams stand going into the second half of the season, the business end, as they call it. If you do like what we do here at the Bundesliga Diaries, then please do follow us on the platforms that we are on. We're on Twitter at @bully_diaries. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. You can just type in Bundesliga Diaries and you will find us. You can also have a look at our website, which is bundesliga-diaries.com. gmail.com. If you want to keep up to date with all the latest episodes that we do here, then please follow us, whether it be on iTunes or on your own personal podcast player that you do use. It's all appreciated. And if you do enjoy the show and want to help us spread the word, then please do leave a review. It really does help us. We hope that you like the show. And yeah, we'll be back next week. And so we will see you then.